Good evening. Welcome along to the Radio City Legends. Plenty on the agenda tonight. I'm Steve Hoversall. We've had a late switch in one of our hot seats tonight. John Aldridge, I think after his exuberant celebrations in the press box the other night, is taking the evening off. We've got Graham Sharp here. Sharpie, have you seen Aldo's video of him and Stevie Hunter from LFC TV?
No.
Oh, it's gone viral.
Has
he's
it?
Had about 3 million views of Aldo losing his head.
He
commentating.
He didn't get excited, did he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Shame we didn't have one of those in Istanbul. And we've got Tony Warner in tonight. Lovely to see you, Tony.
Lovely to see you.
Former Reds keeper as well. So brilliant to have in. And if you want to talk with either of the guys, 01514720967. You're thinking it's a busy night for the Reds.
It should be. I'm looking
forward to really. There's no issues for the Reds, are there? Everything's brilliant, isn't it?
Well, yeah, until I watched it last night.
Oh,
no, honestly,
go away.
I would have said that Liverpool-Barcelona was the final itself, and who won that would go on and win it. And then I thinking that Ajax would beat Tottenham. But Tottenham winning last night was, wow, that was just as dramatic, if you like, than Liverpool kind of thing. But I just think that Tottenham now will give Liverpool a tough game. And I know Liverpool are flying at the moment. People say that they're favourites. But I think Pochettino has done a remarkable job there getting them to the final. I think nobody expects them, especially losing the first leg. But, you know, he got a result last night. So I would say it's probably a harder final now than what it would have been.
Look, Jill, I would totally agree. I watched the game last night and I was thinking Ajax are too open. Yeah. Liverpool probably would have loved Ajax in the final. Does Spurs throw something different mentally into the Liverpool heads, Tony?
Yeah, you know what? I think it does. I think Graham's right there, what he said, with the way that they've come back. You've seen Liverpool's performance against Barcelona and Tottenham have actually just gone and done their own. You know, they've just gone and kind of imitated it really and like, you know, copied it. They'll be sitting there now very buoyed, like galvanised about coming back and beating a very good Ajax side, and especially in the manner that it happens. You know, just two unbelievable nights of football. So they'll be going into the game confident, and I think, you know, when you said Ajax are there, you know, a very open side, and, you know, it may suit a little bit more. It could almost be not so much like a stalemate, but they might be very cagey because they know exactly what each other's about, you know what I mean?
They know each other too well.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they had the game, a league game in Liverpool, they scored in the last minute to keep it through.
Yeah. We've won twice this season.
It was
an own goal from Alderweireld, wasn't it?
Was it the keeper?
Oh,
I don't know.
Over Tongan or one of them.
The keeper made a mistake, did he not? Did the keeper make a mistake in the end? I can't remember. Anyway, Tone's right. I just think that they know each other so well. I think Ajax were brilliant this year, absolutely brilliant. Did I expect that result against Tottenham? Probably not, but when I looked at the Liverpool-Barcelona game, I thought, yeah, that's a final in itself. But Tottenham, who were having a ropey run in the league, you know, and losing games and slipping up and thinking, few injuries. I think Harry Kane might be fit for the final. Did you see him run on after the game?
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with him. Well,
hopefully he's done his hamstring run last night. That'd be absolutely great.
But it'll be like a fantastic final. You know, it's in Madrid, it'll be a fantastic final. But you can't take away Liverpool over the two legs. We're by far the better team. You know, by far the better team. We look at...
Oh, we shouldn't be talking 4-3 aggregate over two legs, should we? Liverpool were probably deserved of, I don't know, 6-1 or something
chances
aggregate.
As well. You know, Liverpool chances, so did they, but Liverpool over the two legs were the better team. I said to somebody after, Liverpool looked fitter, stronger, hungrier than any of the Barcelona players. You know, I think Messi kind of floated in and out, tried to be have an impact, but Suarez, Coutinho, the kid with the
Vidal,
yeah. poor, but that's that because Liverpool just overran them.
Tony, they look mentally tougher to me.
Yeah.
Liverpool, as a unit?
Yeah, I think they do. I think, you know, that thing doesn't happen overnight, and I think Klopp's got them, you know, it's a work in progress. And I think he's just got them firing on all cylinders at the moment. They're right in excess of a wave, and it couldn't have happened at a better time. You know, you talk about Barcelona, Liverpool being the better side over the two games. But then what it does is it just shows us if you give them any kind of chink of light, you know, it shows Suarez's goal. You know, Van Dijk just switches off for a split second, probably the best defender in the world at the moment. And he just switched off for a split second, goal, 1-0 down. Again, ball comes across to Suarez. You know, it's a very difficult ball for him to deal with. He's just got that instinct to just knees it over Alisson. Do you know what I mean? Switch off again. Messi's there, Chester down, soaks it in. You cannot switch off against these sides.
In other words, if they just get one or two chances, it's going to punish you, aren't they?
They are.
I think the stats show that. I think they had four opportunities on goal. They scored three in the first leg. So,
but they had a few second leg as well, didn't they? You know, when Messi...
Yeah, we should have scored in the first half, shouldn't they?
There was but saying that, listen, we all sat in here and thought, right, can Liverpool do it? And what we said, both of us said, or the three of us said, Liverpool score, without a shadow of doubt, but Barcelona will score. And Aldo said the same thing. We thought Barcelona, they would score, and they never. They're off target, whatever kind of thing, but Liverpool to score four goals and not concede was incredible. You know, and you need a bit of luck along the way. But listen, they deserve to be there because they were the better team.
For me, outside of Istanbul, it goes down as my greatest ever match now.
Yeah.
Whereas previously I was thinking the Chelsea game or even the Arsenal game, the 4-2. I really, really enjoyed that. Mm. Has it superseded everything else for you, Tony? Because you were in the stadium as well. The atmosphere was something that I don't think we could have expected pre-kickoff.
Well, I think you're going to get the atmosphere. That's one thing which I think was going to be a constant. But it was just a perfect script. You know, a fairly early goal. Going into half time with a clean sheet. Wijnaldum comes on and scores two goals within 2-3 minutes. And then that reminded me of Istanbul, actually, because remember in Istanbul the goal was going in, you're still celebrating, and then another one was going in, and then he got the penalty. So it was you couldn't script it any better. And then, you know, the goal at the end, it was like the icing on the cake, wasn't it? It was just an amazing bit of savvy.
So for you, your greatest game or not? Or does it take some overshadowing another game?
Don't talk
Istanbul, talk anything underneath that.
It's the greatest game, I think, at Anfield.
It's quite a thing to say, isn't it? I mean, you would always go back to Bayern Munich, wouldn't you? And say the atmosphere and the special nature of it.
What did Aldo say? I want to see his comments.
Seen his video? I'll show you his video
when Origi scored. You know, because he's not a big fan, is he? But I thought he took his goals brilliantly.
Hey, I think he's earned a new contract. I would give him a new contract. Yeah. What's he done this season? Yeah. The Everton game? Yeah. The Watford game? He was involved in the final goal against Newcastle at the weekend. Nice. And that one, big goals.
Yeah.
He's the man who's been involved.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, you know, he hasn't had many opportunities, but when he's come in, he's just been joining on the spot, hasn't he? Huge goals. Huge.
I know that Tony was in Istanbul. He wouldn't know this, but I was walking into a pub in a side street off Taksim Square before the match, and he was walking out.
What were you walking in there for? Yeah. You went buying something, were you?
I was walking in with Phil Easton, funnily enough, for
Phil
a beer.
Phil, a few hours before.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
You frequented a few of them.
I did.
And enjoyed yourself as well. Right, we got plenty that people can talk about. Ticket prices, outrageous. Flight prices, outrageous. Team taxes, whatever on the Liverpool front. On Everton's side of things, you've got a massive game against Spurs. You're not going to be showing Spurs any support when you head down there, are you, ahead of this big final?
Listen, their last home game of the season, they'll be up for it. They want to win, sign off. They've got obviously a lot to play for now. Places up for grabs. So it'll be a tough ask, you know, to get a result down there. But, you know, our performances away from home at the so-called top six have been good. But it's a tough ask. You know, we like to think that Tottenham have celebrated a lot between now and Sunday, and they've been on the razzle kind of thing, and they'll help us kind of thing. But, no, listen, they want to sign off. But we're in a good little run of form at the moment, so it'll be an interesting one. First trip down for Evertonians to the new stadium.
Mm. They'll be allowed to celebrate, won't they, Tottenham, after that game?
I would imagine so, yeah. I'd imagine so.
Yeah. Well,
you're not telling me that if they weren't, they still would.
Yeah.
Mind you, they look like quite a sort of a tranquil bunch, don't they? When you see Ericsson talk afterwards or Lucas Moura, or that they don't look like massive sort of party guys, do they?
No, but it's an interesting final. You know, watching it last night as well, and I'm thinking, there's no hope here. And then the boys got a hat trick, fabulous, and you think, wow. You know, really, really good final. Looking forward to it. Just a pity it's in Madrid. And everybody's got to travel.
Yeah. And we'll get on to that. The final goal last night, so the Spurs winner, from a keeper perspective, are you looking at your centre-half and thinking, you made a clanger there, you've not really sort of dived in with a challenge? Yeah, I mean, Alex could have avoided it, couldn't they?
Yeah, definitely. You'd like to think at that time, he's going to throw the kitchen sink at it, you know what I mean? He's going to put a good solid challenge in. And it just wasn't to be. And, you know, once it's left his foot, you know, there's no chance for the goalkeeper. But yeah, it was. I mean, like it kind of starts well. Like the players slipped, and he just managed to try and get back, and then that just gave the player a little bit of time to roll it off. Was it Ali? Who rolled it off to him, and then Moura just caught it. But yeah, you'd expect at that time there. I mean, at any time really, but especially that time, you know what I mean?
A little bit better.
You cannot allow a shot from that distance there. Yeah, you'd expect him to be, you know, at least leaving his feet.
There's a video on social media of a load of Ajax fans in a bar in Holland counting down from sort of 20 to 10 as if they're counting down to the final whistle. They get to about 3 and that goal goes
in. But
they
were a bit naive, weren't they? You know, I think they've been brilliant this year. Really, really good Ajax. Good to watch, good team. But I thought they were naive last night as well when they should just said, hit up time. Let the clock run out. And they didn't. You know, they continued to try and play. But listen, that's they learned from that experience. Be interested to see how many players are actually there next year. They'll sell a few on. But no, they've had a good campaign, but they'll be gutted. But fair play to Tottenham. You know, 2 sides in the final now and something to look forward to.
We'll never see a better 2 semi-finals, will we, in the Champions League, I don't think. Let's just take a first call. We're going to catch up with Aldo after the break, but let's just take Liverpool fan first of all, get a perspective on the game this week. Dan in Kirkdale. Hello, Dan, welcome to Legends, pal.
He's okay.
Hey, Dan.
Hi.
What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, obviously, the big one, the final. I think that the experience of Liverpool and what we went through last season will play a big part. I think it was a reason why they didn't go on to win against Real Madrid last season. You know, you've seen their players and how versed they were in an occasion such as a Champions League fan. I think Liverpool just getting there last season to Kiev and going through, you know, even if you look at something like the couple of weeks before the final, Klopp gets to look at that again, I think, this season and gets to look at what he could do differently in the build-up and stuff like that. And I think what you're also seeing was how emotional Spurs got last night with the whole occasion of it. And I think that, OK, anything can happen in a game of football in isolation, but I think they might just get caught up in the occasion a little bit more than Liverpool. And I just back us to have a bit more of a cooler head than them and then last year, and I think it'll do well for us. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, do you know what? I think it's a really good point, especially just having the experience of last season and the woe of that, and Liverpool as a club themselves, you know, the history they've got, but specifically the squad they've got now, they will have felt what's happened last year. You know, Spurs will be obviously new kids on the block going into the game, inexperienced. They've never been there before. And you know, Liverpool will not want to be coming out. The players will not want to be coming out on the backside of this second final with a loser's medal.
Yeah, so I agree. So I think the other thing as well to note is that, you know, I think if you think back to the start of the season, a lot of these Spurs players barely had a week off, and they're probably going to come into what will be their 11th month straight playing football. And I think at times last night you looked at them, I thought a full-back or wing-back, they were very leggy.
It's really interesting that point, cause, you know, the World Cup fatigue thing, because everyone said Spurs going into Wembley as well and with the World Cup fatigue, you know, might just struggle this season. Yeah. But they've actually sort of done the opposite, haven't they?
I think when you're winning games, you know what I mean, and when they managed to stay in the Champions League. When you're winning these big games, you do, you know, you don't really seem to tire as much. But then I think when you're at the very thin end of the wedge, that you know the. At the business end of the season, up against a very, very good Liverpool side, that you know could potentially be a factor. And again, you know, we've shown in the last these two second legs of the semi-finals, it just takes a split second to switch off, and you know, goals go in or decisions go against you or whatever. So you know, it's very, very important to be, you know, your tip top, and that you know, the World Cup woes, you know, it may manifest itself.
I just think that they've got enough time to get over it. They're playing Sunday and then the final's what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks after
that?
It's
ages, isn't it?
So what I'm seeing is, so they've got it there, so they'll get the rest in and everything else, you know. So I agree with you. I think there was that World Cup thing, hangover, if you like, with some of the players and look jaded. But by that time that final comes, they'll be tip-top. You know, they're obviously looking forward to see if Kane gets back fit. Looking at him last night, he looked as if he may well have a chance. That adds something, that gives them something more. But in saying that, the boy Moura has scored, you know, 2 hat-tricks in the last couple of weeks. So they've got selection problems. But I would say that with the break they've got after the league season finishes, I think they'll be tip-top and ready for it. And I just think, and I agree with you that Liverpool are more experienced than everything else, but Tottenham will just take this as a game against Liverpool. You know, yes, it's a Champions League, but I don't think, and it'll be great to win it, but I don't think necessarily being there last year will help Liverpool. Liverpool are experienced, all the players are experienced, internationals, they know that the same as Tottenham. Yeah, it might, but I don't think it will.
Danny, you going to try and go to it?
Well, I shorted it before buying, Steve. So,
oh, really?
So you've got the trip shorted out, yeah.
Go on, make everyone feel awful. How much did you pay for your travel?
I'm going to Barcelona for the weekend and then getting the train across on the day of the game. And
brilliant.
With accommodation, I've got it for under £400. So
brilliant.
£400.
I can't really moan. I would have stood to lose £150 of it if we didn't get through, but these are the chances you take when you support Liverpool, I suppose.
So what's it, have they said the prices of the tickets yet? No.
Yeah. Do you want me to read them out? They're utterly scandalous.
Let me
just get you this, because there's even restricted views for the Category A tickets. So that the best tickets...
I don't know why you have restricted views in a new ground, by the way.
It's brand new, isn't it? So Category 1 tickets, £513.
What?
£410 if you want a restricted view. So if you're behind a poster or something. Category 2 tickets, £385.
Wow.
£308. If you get a restricted view. Category 3, £154 or £120 for a restricted view. I don't like the sound of this restricted view thing. I thought they just built a brand new stadium, haven't they, Tony? What's going on here?
I've got a clue. Like you said, they shouldn't have any kind of restricted view in a new stadium.
Those prices are ridiculous, but aren't they?
Yeah, aren't they?
And I think we're talking... Are we talking 16,000 tickets, Dan? Is that right?
Yeah, 16,000. I think there's obviously priority to the lads and girls who've been home and away in Europe, and then it'll go to the ballot, which I was 12,000 in last year. So I'm hoping to improve on that.
Don't back down in the ballot.
Well, I don't know. If I improve on 12,000, I'll be happy to see. So,
fingers crossed for you. Thanks very much, pal.
Cheers.
Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
Take
Cheers.
Care.
So at 16,000 Liverpool, 16,000 Tottenham.
Well, I tell you what, it actually holds the Wanda Metropolitano. It holds 63,500 for the final, but only 16,500 are going to each club, so 30,000 to the UEFA family. Mm. Same old story every year, though.
Wrong,
isn't it? Very wrong. That's
wrong about the pricing. And don't get me wrong, it's a category A game, you know, massive game.
But how can it be £500? You expect a meal and the flight for that, don't you, as well?
Yeah. That's outrageous.
It's terrible, you know, just for your normal man in the street.
Yeah.
It's difficult, and you know, the thing is, they will pay. They will pay because, you know, they want to be there, like the passion, and you know, they walk through fire to be there. But they shouldn't have to pay through the nose for it. You know, it should be kind of, you know, it should be a reasonable price, and that's just not reasonable.
No, and it's not going to change, unfortunately. Yeah. Right, 10 to 7, we'll catch up with Aldo very shortly. It's the Radio City legend. We'll have a chat with Aldo in a moment or two. I'm Steve Hothersall, Graham Sharp in the studio, and Tony Warner as well. We were just discussing the price of getting to the Europa League final, but I just had a look for the Champions League final, but I had a look for the Europa League final. And, of course, that's in Baku this year, which is 2,853 miles away. But you can actually get to Baku and back for £505. Whereas somehow it's a grand to get to Madrid and back.
Well, again, it could be an all-English final again, isn't it?
Which is...
In the Europa League.
Amazing. Yeah. Let's catch up with a man who might still have lost his voice after the other night. He's gone viral. Gone viral with a video of his commentary.
Wait, I want you to know where he is.
on his bed, probably.
Yeah. I want you to know what he's got in his hand.
No, you don't. Family show this year.
Have you calmed down yet?
I have though, mate, but know what I've got in my hand? I've got a nice pint of Guinness.
I knew you would have. It was an absolute nap.
I'm doing a charity function in the next couple of hours. I'm back on the last flight there from Dublin tonight, so I'm just having a quick nice pint of Guinness, Sharpie.
Yeah. Brilliant, me. Did you get a little bit excited the other night?
You know what? You know from the Radio City days, I'm a crackpot at times. And to be honest, when you see a game, you know, at that extent and what happened, I think everyone in the stadium lost the plot because when you've lost your two of your star players, you know, and you're 3-0 down against, you know, the Messi's and Co. and Barcelona. You go there. I just went there really not expecting an awful lot. And there's lads of fights and show desire and commitment and that. But what unfolded in front of my eyes was just, you know, so incredible. Mm. I was at the Centurion game, the Blues game, the final at the UEFA Cup and Chelsea, the Olympiacos. We've been to all these games, Dortmund. But that is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And again, the fans bettered, you know, previous occasions, you know. And I think it was a little bit more emotional the other night for some reason. Yeah. Mm. I don't know. A lot of people got there's a lot of emotion flying around the stadium for some reason. But Sharpie, honestly, it was just ridiculously good night. And my two grandsons were there with me, son, to see it, so I was made up.
Yeah, John, I said to the boys before, and, you know, Liverpool were hungrier, fitter, you know, quicker, wanted it more. And over the two games, they thoroughly deserved to win. You know, I just see, I heard that you were campaigning for a new contract for Origi. You've changed your tune. He's your main Steve man now.
Steve Ock must stay.
Yeah. Listen, his second goal was brilliant.
The second goal, and you know, you've been in that situation. Mm. Technique,
yeah,
was brilliant because that's a tough chance. What Trent done on the ball boy before, that was streetwise. Mm. The ball boy was streetwise, come from a part of Liverpool where he probably had to be like myself, Costa del Garson. And then, you know, Trent's from West Derby, you had to know a bit about yourself when you were young. They've seen something and he's just gone bang, there you go. Yeah. But the ball bounced in front of him,
yeah,
and the goalie's on the near post, of course, everyone. But you had to hook it in a certain way, Jared. It was a brilliant goal, mate. Mm. It was absolutely fabulous. I missed it, to be fair. I just turned and just seen the ball going into the net. And I thought, what's going on there? Before I realised, you know, it was brilliant. And to be fair to the lad, you know, he has had his doubters. And I have been one of them, to be quite honest. But hey, fair play to him. You know, if he stays next year, if he goes, Liverpool can get 40 million for him now.
John, I watched it last night as well. And I said to the boys here, and Tony's here as well, I just said to him, but I thought the final was itself Liverpool-Barcelona, but I think Tottenham winning last night gives it a little more of an edge now, doesn't it? I would have fancied Liverpool easily against Ajax. I think Tottenham's a harder opposition for you.
I agree. I've loved Ajax this year.
Yeah.
I think they've brought a better fresh air to the tournament, the way they took on the teams, you know, in a youthful way. And that's what cost them yesterday. They were naive. He showed a bit of greenness, lack of experience, but you've been brilliant, absolutely brilliant throughout the competition. Spurs are a really good side. Yeah. You're talking about two sides going to the final, they've done it the right way. You know, they've had to balance the books, you know, in many ways. Liverpool have had to balance the books by selling Coutinho. I'm bringing in likes of Alisson, who was sublime the other night.
Mm. Yeah, he made some important saves, didn't he, John?
What a bit of business that is, by the way. Mm. And then, obviously, you know, Tottenham have had not to spend because of the stadium. So it's very apt. Very apt, I think.
Just pick up on Alisson there, because actually I thought he had more to do than virtually any game he's played for Liverpool. He's made a couple of big ones before Napoli and Man United, but he had about, Tony said he had about four there, didn't he, John?
He did, yeah.
Yeah, he's faultless. His deliveries, his handling, everything was absolutely faultless, and it had to be. Even when the saves came, he pushed them away into the right areas. Like, you know, their goal, he pushed the first one back into Origi's path. Mm. He pushed them away. It was one of the most perfect goalkeeping displays I've seen. He didn't get, you know, he didn't get overworked. But what he did, he done particularly well. He was superb. If you analyse that goalkeeping display, if you're a goalkeeper, you say, wow, that was good. And it had to be.
It was, yeah.
Like some Messi, and you've got the Rat having a couple of shots at you. you have to do it the right way. And it was great, you know. From the first minute, you know, you look at even Robertson showing not the utmost respect for Messi, but letting him know he's in the fight, you know. And Fabinho, you know, Suarez got him booed. That's the best tackle I've seen at Anfield all season. And then all of a sudden, Liverpool done to Barcelona a little bit what Barcelona done to us. I thought it in some of the ways, you know, even streetwise all over the park. And he had to be able to win it, Barcelona 4-0.
Just going back quickly to Alisson, if you're the goalie, are you sort of mentally a bit on edge because you're facing Messi And Suarez, do you think that's an extra dimension for Alisson to deal with?
Definitely, yeah, Tony? I think it is, because, you know, we can, especially what he's done in the first leg, you know, he's a well-specialised player. He's capable of doing anything, and he can seem to be out the game, and he can be kind of like wandering around and seem to be, you know, not really on it. And the next minute, the ball's in the back of there. That's how good he is. He's been doing it like, for years and years and years, and you know,
yeah.
he didn't quite do it the other day. You know, he was quiet, but that's always in your mind. You know, it could have been gone up to like the 89th minute or whatever, and Messi can like break your heart. But you know, it's like we say there, John, about Alisson. He just had a perfect performance. Everything he'd done, it was 10 out of 10. And you have the extra pressure as well, because you cannot afford to make one mistake. Because if Barcelona score a goal there, you know, you're calculating that. You're thinking, you know, you get your fingers out. You think, oh, how many?
It's all over.
It's all over, because, you know, I think
that, as the much one as goal takes it away from Liverpool.
Yeah,
yeah, I think it does.
What he did was, honestly, you've analysed that, it's perfection from a goalkeeper point of view. But sometimes you see goalkeepers getting 10 out of 10 and, you know, they've been beaten 3-0 or whatever, but he's pulled off like eight saves brilliantly. What he had to do, Ray Clemens was the best adder I've seen, concentration wise. Ray Clemens had nothing to do for most of the game, and that fantastic team he played with. But he'd always do something later on to keep Liverpool in the game. Mm. Or, like, I remember a goal against, I think it was, Mönchengladbach or something, last minute penalty save. He'd do something. That's what Alisson had to do. He just had to be wary all the time when they broke or something happened with Messi or the fella, you know, snapshot. And he'd done it. Even the one where Messi second half got away at that corner, which is a magic corner where he manipulated the situation. Near post, just had to get his body in the way, and he put out for a corner.
Just stood big, didn't he?
Display. And it was 10 out of 10 from a goalkeeper point of view. And I reckon there was about 3 or 4 10 out of 10s for Liverpool. I'm not getting carried away, because to beat Barcelona 4-0, you have to get most players 8 or 9, and you have to have 10s in your team, and that's what Liverpool did.
And was Divock one of them, John?
Just before you go, should young Oakley Cannon, or is it Cannoneer, I think. So he's the young ball boy. Should he get the freedom of the city, John?
Oh, he should be recognised. He's in the academy as well, isn't he? He's from
Good
Leeds,
lad,
isn't he?
Should be.
So he was very astute. And again, when you're from Leeds, you have to be streetwise as well. Let's not forget that. But yeah, I think he'll get recognised. I think the club will look after him, you know, somewhere for him, maybe final, because, you know, his thinking was along the same ways as Trent. You know, and without him doing that, we wouldn't have got where we are, probably.
Oakley, well done, pal.
I thought it was cheating.
it
was the ball as well, wasn't it? The ball was still on the pitch, and, you know, the ball's been put down in like the quadrant, and the match ball is still rolling off the pitch, and that's what the Barcelona players have just seen that, and as soon as it's gone off the pitch, bang, the new one's in play, and that's probably what's done them. I think they've just been aware of a ball on the pitch and thought, right, well, it can't get from there to the corner and back in as quickly as we can kind of turn around. You know, it's going to take a few seconds.
And
by the time you've turned around, like, it's just in the net, and he probably just turned like, hang on, what's going on here?
And they're all stood like statues, aren't they?
Statues,
the Barca players.
That's a bit ungentlemanly, if you ask me.
Oh, God, wait. It was. John, where are you with your Guinness at the moment? Have you
finished it?
I've only had a couple of squigs.
Right, we'll leave you to it.
No, because I knew I was talking, so I don't want to start talking garbage again, you know what I mean?
Make sure you can go on that plane tonight and allow you on.
John, make sure you get beaten in the quiz, Charlie.
No pressure.
No danger of that.
We'll see you later.
Safe. Text afterwards, just make sure that, you know. What was the bet, Charlie, anyway? You're going to take me to Hillside. And
yeah, go on, lad. Yeah,
Hillside,
yeah, okay. It's amazing how he thinks this up with one short you go, isn't it? Yeah.
You've got to play around with a Divock Origi shirt on.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what, Sharpie, I promise you, I'll get a 4-1. Me, you, Steve, and Tom, or one of the lads, whatever. And Hillside are very good with Jim Donaldson and myself. And
right.
They look up for us.
All right, good man, lad. Good man.
And then Radio City can get us a few free beers for the show.
It's Steve Hollis, all you're talking
about.
How
are you getting a prize for losing the quiz?
Yeah, well, it's just taking part.
Although, we'll see you soon. Thank you, pal.
Have a good one, pal.
All right, last time Steve bought a round, it was toast.
Right, I'm pulling his fader down. He's a bad man. Let's get some Everton conversation. It is important we talk about Everton. They've got a game with Tottenham to come, so let's have a chat with Martin, who's on the Radio City Legends. Evening, Martin.
Hello, guys.
Hey, Martin, how you doing?
Oh, I'm not doing too bad, mate. A lot happier than I was a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
I can actually see us winning at Tottenham on Sunday. I don't think he'll play his full team, because half of them are knackered after last night.
Yeah, maybe. Good point. You know, we were just saying before, I think it'll be interesting between now and the Champions League final, you know, resting players and giving them the recovery period as well. So you might be right. It might be a week inside, but it'll still be a tough place to go.
Oh, it will be. I mean, I'll be interested to see it. The stadium's the main thing for me, just so I know that's like, to be honest, mate. But, he's got injury problems anyway, so he has to look at it and say, well, I'm not really going to drop below fourth in the Premier. Unless there's I think even if Arsenal win, they've got to win something like 10-0 to overtake Spurs. So we know that isn't going to happen. Because Arsenal are away from home anyway, and Arsenal are playing tonight.
Yeah.
In a game they should win, but we don't know. But I mean, I'm looking forward to A, for the stadium, and B, it might be the last chance we get to see Kurt Zouma and Andre Gomez.
Yeah.
Because, you know, apparently the vultures are starting to circle around Gomez now. But you'd hope that he'd look at it and think, well, I'm happy at Everton. I'm playing at Everton. I'm one of the main protagonists for Everton. You know, why should I go somewhere else? And I think next year we can push on. I honestly think now that it seems like, I said to the lads were all saying as well, that the message that Silva's been preaching, it seems to have dropped. It seems to, you know, we know what we're doing now. I mean, we're playing high energy, but we're playing good stuff as well, and we're mixing it up. We're not just doing little pretty passes. If we need to go long, we'll go long. And I think the same with the transfer policy. It looks like we could have our act together on that, because we've got someone in charge who knows what they're doing. Unlike under Koeman and Walsh, it was like, oh, well, he's available and he's a number 10. If we buy five number 10s, we might get lucky.
No, you know, you're right. Listen, Martin, you're right. You know, the transfer policy is going to be interesting. You know, obviously, you'd want to keep your loan players that you had, you know, Gomez and Zouma. I think what Chelsea's ban hasn't been uplifted, has it? So they've abandoned players. So I'd imagine Zouma's going back there. They need him. But again, it depends what happens at Chelsea in terms of, does the manager remain? Does he have the say? Does he want them back? So it's an interesting one. But, you know, I think we've got the nucleus is there. But it'd be great if we could sign those two on a permanent basis. Gomez, listen, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how many games you play and how comfortable. At the end of the day, for a lot of people, it's, you know, what's on offer. You know, and his agent will be looking around and thinking, what's on offer? You know, where can I get X amount of pounds more or whatever for the lad and for him? So it's an interesting one. But I agree with you. I'd like to think that he's been looked after here. He's enjoyed his time here and he may well sign, but we'll just have to wait and see. But I'm sure the manager will want it done as quickly as possible, so that if he has to replace him, he have to do it.
I mean, I'm interested to see how many of the kids will be stepped up. I think Joao Virginia will be the goalkeeper. Whether he stays as part of the squad or goes out on loan, you wouldn't know, because I think Steck's about 38 now, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. You know, but he gets a hard. And Tone will know as well. Martin Stecklenberg is a really experienced goalkeeper, played at the top level, and I think people give him a hard time. I haven't really seen an awful lot of him, but I'm more than happy with him being number two. And as you said, the young lad is maybe a shot of going out on loan, you know, might do him the world of good. But for me, Stecklenberg is a decent backup keeper.
Yeah, he's definitely a capable number two, you mean, of course. And, you know, you don't want to be maybe taking chances with the young lad coming in. You know, you've got to be very, very sure. Probably, you know, a loan spell or two might serve him a little bit better.
I mean, the only worry for me about Steck was the last time he did play, he wasn't taking goal kicks. So that's the only worry I've got, is if he doesn't want to take goal kicks and stuff. It kind of sort of hinders you. I mean, I'm not decrying his ability as a keeper, but really, has he got a Champions League winner's medal? But he's definitely, I think he's been in a Champions League
he's
final.
He's been in the final, I know that, yeah, I know he's been.
And the World Cup final, you know, the Heitinger one, where Heitinger took somebody's head off, didn't he?
Yeah.
And, but Maybe, like you say, with Joao Virginia, we can send them alone and bring another slightly younger, experienced keeper in, because there's one or two knocking about on free transfers this summer.
Yeah, but as Martin, as you say, it's going to be an interesting summer, you know, incomings and outgoings. Let's wait and see. But, you know, Marcel Brands, Marco Silva, I think they've got a busy summer, you know, trying to get rid of some of the players that we've got. As I think both have mentioned, that the squad is probably top heavy and they need to get some people out. But as we all know, and we've talked about it before, it's easier said than done, especially when players are on contracts, you know, in long contracts and in good contracts as well. So they'll be working overtime, I'd imagine, as soon as the season finishes.
Martin, thank you very much indeed. I've just Googled him. I don't remember him winning a Champions League medal. I've gone to his honours. Obviously played for Ajax. Won several honours there in Roma as well, but no Champions League winning medal. Right, 7:10. It's the important time of the night. We're going to do the quiz in just a moment or two. It's pens. Tony's got pressure on his shoulders. Aldo's warned him.
Pressure.
He's a keeper. He should cope with it. Right, 7:15. Get the feeling Sharpie's a bit like the Manchester United of this quiz. He's sort of given up. the season's crumbled.
It has, yeah.
There's no one he can bring in to help him.
No.
Bar me.
Yeah. Don't forget it, Tony. If you lose this, you never hear the end of it from Aldo. Basically, that's all that happens.
This is sudden death because we're equal, aren't we? And this is the one that decides.
Equal.
Next goal of winning.
Every time he comes out with this. Right, let's have a go at it then. So, Sharpie. Oh, yeah, you want to let the
Tony
a gentleman's honour of letting Tony start. Yeah, choose a penalty between 1 and 6.
Four.
Number four. It is the song and artist round, so Sharpie's managed to avoid this. You've got to name the song and the artist as well. There's no points for just one half of it.
Be good at this.
It's dead easy, unless Sharpie fills your head. There we go. Do you want to hear it again or not?
That's Simple Minds, Don't You Forget About Me.
Tell you what, Sharpie, you got hands full tonight.
It's easy!
Oh, wow, wow, wow!
Because you're a Scot.
So, so what was that for?
That was number four.
I'll go 6.
They're all easy questions.
6. Oh, yeah.
What club did Gylfi Sigurdsson start his professional career at?
Believe yourself.
Where did Gylfi start? Come on, think hard.
Reykjavik.
It is one of those where you don't want to watch schoolboy football.
Reading.
Did he?
According to our quizmaster, but he has known to be wrong on occasions.
And he's just left the building. Yeah,
he just ran out of the room. Yeah, he's put Reading here, so I have to go by what he's written on the sheet. Yeah. Sorry, you've missed your penalty there. Tony, what would you like?
Number one, please.
Number one. How many goals have Liverpool scored in this season's Champions League? Is it 18, 22 or 27? So how many goals have Liverpool scored in the Champions League this season?
Look, I'm counting them up. Look.
He is?
Yes. 22.
Do you think he's right?
Yeah.
Did you honestly calculate that in your head in that short period of time?
No. Not at all. Okay. Just a guess, straight down the middle.
Fair play.
6.
22. 2 right. You've got to get this. You've had 6. That was your Gylfi Sigurdsson.
All right, 5.
Told you, you're the Manchester United of pens.
5.
5, right. Who did Tranmere play in the playoffs? It's tomorrow night. First leg is tomorrow. Prenton Park.
Forest Green.
Forest Green is the answer.
Oh, wow, wow, wow.
One because I spoke to Matty before the show.
Yeah, Matty, our co-producer, he's dead excited about that. And he's going to Forest Green on Monday. So the two legs, tomorrow night and Monday night. I think. Can you still get in, Matty? Give it a plug. You can. Matty says head down. I think there's 8,000 pre-sales, but brilliant atmosphere for the Bury game and should be for that one tomorrow. Right, Tony.
What have we got left?
You've got number 2 and number 3.
Christian's just been away looking to see if that red answer's right.
That's right.
Oh. Yeah.
Is it right?
Right. I'll go with number 3.
Number 3. It's mystery voice time.
Oh.
It's got both of these. Here we go. Who's this?
Yeah, I think he's a very good coach. He loved to speak with the player.
Do you want to hear it one more time? Let's see if we can get it back up. Who is this?
Yeah, I think he's a very good coach. He loved to speak
music
with the player.
Ooh,
that's probably one of Christian's tracks that he's mixed underneath it, isn't it? Who is that mystery voice, Tony?
Oh, I'll draw it. I know. Fabinho.
Who, Fabinho?
Yeah.
Absolutely no idea.
Do you want to have a guess?
No.
It's Luis Suarez.
Was it?
Who Aldo won't call Luis Suarez anymore. Yeah, he calls him the Rat.
Yeah.
That's his new name for him. It's like when he wouldn't talk about Fernando Torres. He would only call him FT to me for some reason.
Really?
Yeah, he's got a problem like that. Right, you can get back in it.
Go on then.
Final question.
Well,
have you seen what you've written here,
he's
Christian? Christian's written on this sheet of paper. What club did Spurs sign from?
Luka Moura.
What club did Spurs sign Luka Moura from? This is straightforward. What club did Spurs sign Lucas Moura from? And, of course, he got the hat-trick the other night. It's very straightforward.
No idea.
Do I get half a point?
Benfica.
Do you know it? You've gone Benfica and you've gone...
Yes, she. Done it for you, Aldo. Got it over the line.
Proper Divock Origi-esque performance there from Tony.
PSG?
It's PSG. Yeah, bro. You see, I don't get it because after October, your head completely went. You were totally confident.
No, because
you stopped studying.
No, you were ganging up on me, and I just decided to go.
It finally broke you down, did it?
Yeah.
All right. Quick word for Tranmere Rovers. So it's huge. You've got a few injuries. Yeah. But tomorrow night against Forest Green at Prenter Park and Monday the return, and then hopefully get to a final. It's big stuff, isn't it? To get promoted 1 year and then maybe do it again. You had your time at Tranmere, Tony.
Yeah, you know, they've had some tough times of late, and, you know, they've managed to turn it round and promotion last year. And, you know, if they can do a double bubble again, it's amazing for the club. You know, probably back to where, you know, on the way to where where they should be, really. Like I said, dark days recently, so fingers crossed.
Absolutely. I'm not sure, but Matty, our producer, says Forest Green are the bogey side, so I don't think he's hugely... Yeah, there he's nodding away at that.
You used to have a really good surface down there, a good little set-up.
Yeah.
You know, came in from non-league, you know, decent pitch. Yeah, good luck, sir. It won't be easy. But, you know, wish him all the best.
Right, let's take a final call on the Radio City Legends, and we're going to talk Liverpool with Paul. Evening, Paul.
Evening, boys.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, Tony. How you going?
Hi, Paul.
I just wanted to reflect on the Barcelona game, Tony.
Yeah.
I think a lot of their players got caught up in the emotion of the tie. I'm watching the game back yesterday on TV. I just thought that Barcelona were really, really poor, and it's probably the worst you'll ever see them play in an away game of a Champions League. I was expecting like Suarez and Coutinho or Messi maybe to step up to the plate, but it was, watching it back, it was really easy for Liverpool, I thought. I think they thought the game was already won from the Camp Nou. 3-0 down, no Salah, no Firmino.
Yeah.
I just thought they were just going to come there, maybe try and score a goal and put the tie to bed, and I think it just fell apart for them, really.
Well, sorry, mate. Go on.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
I was saying, like, I think didn't Suarez tweet something about when we score, they've got to score five.
I think so.
So, you know, that shows a little bit of complacency straight away. Probably, you know, I'm not being funny, but. Barcelona should be thinking the tie's finished. I know, and that's not something I want to be kind of like complaining or nothing, but when would you ever really see that happen again? Do you know what I mean? It was so unexpected. You know, you've probably got a little bit of complacency. I think you've probably got a little bit of, you know, you're talking about top level world class players here, but Anfield on a European night is something to behold, and the atmosphere there is second to none.
Does it affect the players?
Well, I think it can do. You know, I just everyone in world football knows about Anfield and his European nights. It's got some kind of magic. And Barcelona didn't turn up. You know, only they will know the reasons. You know, maybe, I should imagine there will have been a little bit of complacency. You know, there is that kind of, you know, they thought the tie was done. They're probably thinking about, you know, like Madrid already. But then when you have that wall of atmosphere, you're at Anfield. And like I said, it was scripted perfectly for Liverpool, like an early goal, and then when Gini scored those two goals, the pressure was right on him. Now, what I said before was, you know, you got the players there, especially Messi. He can have a quiet game, and then the ball's just in the back of the net before you know it, and he just kind of picks your pockets. And it didn't seem to happen on Tuesday for whatever reason. I do think complacency did play a part. It wasn't a usual Barcelona side, but you know, at this stage, looking from like a Liverpool's perspective, it's not about performances; it's about just getting the results. Mm. Liverpool had to come out the traps there, and it was a perfect game.
Yeah, Paul, I just think that you talk about this and Barcelona were bad, but Liverpool just got after them, and whether it was complacent or whatever, I just didn't think they showed any hunger or desire, or they just little shell shocked.
Not like from the first game, Graham.
No,
I mean they were absolutely. He just dominated us from the way going. Yeah. And I thought Henderson and Fabinho did exactly the same to them as they did to us.
Yeah.
And I thought Henderson was absolutely immense. He was all over the park. And the lad was lying down at the end of the game, full of emotion. And he was everyone was in tears. And it was unbelievable to see.
Paul, if you go into a game of football, you've got to show passion and aggression, desire. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you're the best player in the world or the best team in the world, you've got to show that. And if you don't show that, you just can't solely rely on Messi to get you out of hole. And I just looked at them, and I looked at even Piqué at the back, because it was a leader kind of thing. He wasn't leading. They had no leaders. Liverpool were hungrier, more ferocious in the tackle. And you could see who wanted to win the game. And it was Liverpool. Mm. And okay, you did the goals that they went in kind of thing. But even at 3-0 from the corner, you're switching on. And I just think that Liverpool steamrollers. I mean, over the two games, Liverpool were the better team.
Real quick one, Tony. Who would your midfield be for the final? I'd have Henderson, Fabinho, Wijnaldum. I'd leave Milner on the bench.
Bit harsh, yeah.
No, I think they're all brilliant. I just think it's a really difficult choice. Would you go different?
It's a very difficult choice. Yeah. I mean,
I'd play the Ox.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There you
good
go.
Show. Yeah. Yeah, good
nice
show.
One, Paul. It's options, isn't there?
I'm kind of.
You're not sure, are you?
No, I'm not.
Arsenal boy scoring the winner. That would be unbelievable.
there was something that I seen on Tuesday, which was just echoed the whole team ethic. I thought Henderson spotted the pass coming across the back, and it was like two passes down the line. He spotted it, and he knew it was coming from the right side of defence. And he was just kind of just been a little bit complacent, knocking the ball across, and he's gone to the second man, knowing it's going to go across there. And he just broke out of midfield, and he must have made a 35-yard sprint, and it went exactly where he thought it was. And he nearly caught him on a counter. If he dispossessed the defender, I'm not too sure who it was, but they'd have had maybe a two or a three on two.
There you go. Tony's not answering it. Paul, thank you very much indeed, pal.
No worries. Thanks, boys.
It's a difficult one, isn't it? It's nice when you've got those sort of options.
It is. Yeah. It is. And you've got one game. Haven't you really on Sunday?
That's it. You're
just trying to twist the manager.
We haven't talked about it. You've got 2 seconds. Are Liverpool going to win the title or not?
I'd like them to, but it's a difficult ask. No, probably not.
Tony Warner, thank you very much indeed. Are Everton going to be Tottenham?
Blue moon.
Sharpie, thank you. See you on Monday.